Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. There's this myth, you know, we conflate things and confuse things. But, you know, that's why I think it's important to define terms. Just because we agree to do something doesn't mean that's socialism. You know, and again, Acts chapter 2 is not socialism. The question is, who decides? And usually, when it comes to socialism, communism, fascism, communitarianism, Fordism, whatever, it's someone else deciding for you. It's some other man, so to speak, deciding for the masses. Acts chapter 2 is the Holy Spirit impressing things upon people's hearts. That's not communism. And so if a group of people in a town, for example, all get together and decide this is a good thing, that's not socialism. But when an edict rolls down from on high, that's something different. And that's why when you read Hayek's Road to Serfdom, there is a progression of subject matter. Chapter 1, The Abandoned Road. Chapter 2, The Great Utopia. This is what it is. We have envisioned a great utopia, or envisaged, as the bad guys like to say. Chapter 3, Individualism and Collectivism. Chapter 4, The Inevitability of Planning. Chapter 5, Planning and Democracy. Chapter 6, Planning and the Rule of Law. Chapter 7, Economic Control and Totalitarianism, and so on. I mean, to read the chapters and to see what has happened in America, it's like textbook. And so there are broader concerns. You know, again, getting back to practical issues, practical matters, you know, I think of, I mentioned yesterday in this discussion, Carol Quigley's book, Carol Quigley, Georgetown University professor, Bill Clinton mentor, his book, posthumously published, The Anglo-American Establishment. And Amazon's book description reads, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891. You know, Amazon, the platform that bans certain books, this is Amazon's book description. Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control all the economies of all the nations. They want to control the world. And they intend to, and they are ruthless and cunning and relentless in their efforts and pursuit. That's not to terrify, that's just to point out how this conspiracy that Quigley pointed out works. And during William and Montana's call yesterday, you know, reflecting on Afghanistan, the first Anglo-Afghan War, second Anglo-Afghan War, etc., there are so many talking points. People need to just go look around. The Durand line, Mortimer Durand, Balkanization, these kinds of ideas. I was thinking about, you know, we've talked about Halford Mackinder and the geographic pivot of history, the concept of geostrategy, you know, Brzezinski and the Eurasian Balkans. We've talked about these things. But to me, the simple version, just to sort of connect the subject matter, you know, military proxies have been used to try to sort of beat down, again, in a war of attrition sort of fashion, people who historically were in the way of those who want to control the world. The Ottoman Empire, for example. When I think of Balkanization, I think of the Ottoman Empire and the breaking up of it, which is why when I used to talk about that, I used to mention the Wikipedia entry for the term Balkanization, because even today you can see at the top of the page the image, it's a GIF image that is it's an animated GIF that shows the fracturing of the Ottoman Empire, and the caption reads "History of Central Europe and the Balkans from 1796 to 2008." There's the Ottoman Empire, and then suddenly there's not. What happened? Balkanization is a derogatory geopolitical term for the process of fragmentation or division of a region or state into smaller regions or states that are often hostile or uncooperative with one another. Oh, you mean like creating essentially, you know, failed state status and then nation building in Rand Corporation fashion. Oh, look, they've fallen into failed state status. Never mind the fact that was fomented and engineered, an engineered orchestrated crisis. We've got to do something. We don't have time. The term refers to the division of the Balkan Peninsula, formerly ruled almost entirely by the Ottoman Empire, into a number of smaller states between 1817 and 1912. Who knew? It was coined in the early 19th century and has a strong negative connotation. The term, however, came into common use in the immediate aftermath of the First World War, with reference to the numerous new states that arose from the collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the Ottoman Empire. Interesting. Who knew? So the short version of, Halford Mackinder's geostrategic pivot of history is that it's the Khyber Pass, basically, where great military leaders like Alexander the Great go to die on their swords. And if you can conquer this area, you know that place where Zbigniew Brzezinski went to talk to the Mujahideen? Hey, your cause will be successful, and you know, you're right, and your cause will be successful. God is on your side. You'll get your homes and your mosques back. We ought to play that clip. The Afghan-Pakistan border, Khyber Pass, the choke point, which, by the way, is very important to the Silk Road. Is it important to the new Silk Road? So the short version of Halford Mackinder's geographical pivot of history is the Khyber Pass. If you can conquer this region of the world, then you can conquer anywhere. And so for hundreds of years, certain interests have been at this, and nobody knows. Which is why I also usually refer to RL33627, the Congressional Research Service report titled "NATO and Afghanistan, a Test of the Transatlantic Alliance." Because, you know, the summary of the October 23rd, 2008 revision says it all. The mission of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and Afghanistan, NATO and Afghanistan, is a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities. Since September 11, 2001, the Allies have sought to create a new NATO, able to go beyond the European theater to combat new threats. Blah, blah, blah. Afghanistan is NATO's first out-of-area mission beyond Europe. The purpose of the mission is the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. Why here? Why is this place so important? Like William said, you know, it's a bunch of rocks. Why is it important? So this is happening in your name, in my name. We're making enemies around the world. We ought to play that clip too. Gary Webb on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Maybe we will. I wish I didn't know how to spell Zbigniew Brzezinski's name. He doesn't deserve that. So, you know, maybe we'll play those two clips. And why is this sort of antithetical to, you know, does it even matter, you know? Why is this antithetical to what used to be known as and referred to as, you know, what might be thought of as patently American? Zbigniew Brzezinski. Yeah. Sorry, multitasking is bad for radio. So the newsreel clip, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Who later told the world that, you know. I mean, does it even matter at this point? People don't realize. Yeah, but you know, that was 50 years ago. Come on, Chris. Okay, 40 years ago. Well, yeah, it matters because it's the same MO and these systems that have been set up that fleece the masses and give whiskey and beads to the masses while bad guys pat the plebes on the head and go conquer the world in your name and my name, and including conscripting brave young men and women, which, as a friend once observed, is a form of genocide. You are conscripting the warrior class to their own genocide in the long war as cannon fodder. I don't think that's a good thing. You know, call me crazy, but I don't think that's a good thing. So here's what Brzezinski said back in, I think it was 79. Go ahead, please.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day, because your fight will prevail. And you'll have your homes and your mosques back again, because your cause is right and God is on your side.
Because your cause is right and God is on your side. There's the national security advisor to President Carter at the time talking to Al-Qaeda, the precursor to Al-Qaeda. And nothing has changed today. You know, so in, you know, you have Iran-Contra, you have, you know, remember the freedom fighters? We had to play, Pirates and Emperors. Let's see if I can find... what I'm looking for here. You know, there are... yeah. There are little things that... yeah. Leak out here and there. Syrian Democratic Forces. That word again. The SDF. There are folks who... yeah, here's one. Well, no, that's not the one I want. Well, maybe I'll come back to that. Anyway. There are several folks who have talked about the fact that, you know, the names of the groups may change and the alliances may shift, but the underlying current doesn't ever seem to change, which, you know, is interesting. And these groups cooperate with one another from time to time, seemingly in opposition to one another. And, you know, you hear that that's just part of good military strategy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. But it's just an illogical, nonsensical justification of evil. And really, our foreign policy should be marked not by entangling alliances and protracted conflicts and things like that, but, you know, peace and commerce with all, rather than being conscripted to stealing resources around the world and furthering the efforts of hegemony. Anyway, I think I will return to Adams, you know, specifically, and the phone lines are open, by the way, 800-313-9443, again, 800-313-9443. I'm headed toward the subject of Libyan socialism, and folks who don't know and think that that is a beacon of light need to investigate Fabian socialist involvement in Libya during the Gaddafi years, the London School of Economics in particular. But I think first we'll talk about the roots of America through the eyes of John Adams. What did we mean by the American Revolution? Stick around, I'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite, should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back.
Please remember.
It's interesting, you know. Looking at what, I mean, you would think when someone like Carol Quigley publishes a book, posthumously published, when he writes a book and it's available for us to read, you would think that we would get wise to that. And when you discover someone like Carol Quigley is not guessing after having the opportunity to review the private documents of the folks who are fomenting these conflicts worldwide, you would think that lesson would persist, certainly for at least a generation or two or three, but, you know, certain folks control the printing presses and what people think, and there are lots of convenient distractions, more and more, it seems. But, you know, upon learning that these isms, you know, communism, fascism, socialism, they're all fingers of the same unseen hand or tentacles of the same hydra, you would think that that would be an important lesson that we would pass along to one another. There was, you know, no real discussion of these things prior to the little roundtable groups. You know, there was the the way Gary Kaw put it, the demonic roots of globalism, which all of these other isms stem from. And then, you know, that was predominantly through the early and, you know, throughout the 19th century. And then by the end of that, you have this letter from Pike de Mazzini, the most prophetic letter never written, as I like to think of it. And creation of the Fabian Society. And this, you know, these machinations date further back, obviously, but this is when these efforts really, I think, started to meet with significant success in welding together the fortunes of the world again in Cecil Rhodes' last will and testament fashion. We have to agglomerate wealth the world over, and everyone will put their fortune to the wheel of progress, and all of that, and advancing this technocratic agenda, and, you know, transhumanist, posthumanist, gets right back to the what Gary Kaw wrote about the demonic roots of globalism and an effort to, well, do bad things that, to me, harken back to Genesis chapter 6 via Genesis chapter 11. And right now, we're kind of there. We're headed toward, you know, this great society, which is sort of fashioned after Genesis 11, to get back to Genesis 6. And that is, as Francis Fukuyama puts it, our post-human future. Which, as he puts it, you know, is the consequences of the biotechnology revolution. Anyway, what does it mean to be American? It's interesting that the melting pot concept lends itself to the myth of progress, as Jacques Ellul said, the myth of progress. You know, do we have an identity in America? What is it? I want to talk about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Another unintended consequence, wink, wink, is the collateral damage that occurs when, you shoot at people with American guns and American bullets. And like I said, are we just completely anesthetized? Have we gotten to a point in America where, since there is no immediate sense of life-threatening danger, then we just don't care? We're going around the world creating enemies. Who's projecting force, as Noam Chomsky says? Is Russia on our border? Is NATO on Russia's border? Never mind what Anthony Sutton wrote. Speaking of the best enemies money can buy. But, is that not a concern? When we're creating enemies? So, speaking of that, here is Gary Webb on C-SPAN's Washington Journal from, what was that? I want to say 1989. No. I forget. I think it was 89. Anyway, here's Gary Webb. Go ahead, please.
To consider him removing from office. We got a call from Fort Lauderdale. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the Swiss banking settlement, and I think that's great that they finally owed up to their mistakes. What I like to see are politicians put pressure on the Swiss banks to quit being the bankers for the international terrorist and drug dealer. Supposedly this guy that blew up the embassies in Kenya and Tanzania is some billionaire from Saudi Arabia. I wonder where that guy keeps his money, probably in the Cayman Islands or Swiss or the whole host of these other banks. And I wish there was some pressure to clean up the banking system. All these terrorists and drug dealers wouldn't have any place to put their money.
There's a story on the front page below the fold in the Washington edition of the LA Times that profiles the Saudi dissident who you referred to, Osama bin Laden. He is, his father had 52 children from a number of different wives. He is worth several $100 million, according to Robin Wright, who wrote the piece for the LA Times. And she profiles how he turned against the Americans essentially as a result of Operation Desert Storm in 1990.
Well, you know, there was a very interesting book written a couple of years ago by a journalist named Jonathan Quitney. It was called Endless Enemies. And his theory was that the United States foreign policy simply creates enemies wherever we go. And I think this is another example. When we intervene in the affairs of other countries and we shoot at people and people get shot at with American bullets and American weapons, we create enemies. And If this is true, that this man turned against the United States government as a result of Desert Storm, we've created another enemy there we might not have had before.
Two things.
Maybe not a good idea. That was actually a 1998 appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Dyslexia be darned. And he mentions Jonathan Quitney's Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World, published in 1984. Do we care? Are these things concerns? Anyway, so what does it mean to be American? And again, you know, I feel like maybe we could benefit from replaying the Reagan clip. You know, this is the issue. And it really sort of comes down to that distinction, but we are being encouraged. It's the long war in Fabian fashion, a protracted war of attrition. We're being encouraged to believe that, you know, this Fabian socialism, aka democratic socialism, it's a good thing. You can have the gifts that you want, and, you know, you'll have the ease and comfort that Edward Bellamy talks about in Looking Backward, the heavily plagiarized work, Looking Backward. And, you know, you won't have to worry about much. Just be comfortable life with enough, you know, a life of ease. You can retire with full benefits at 45 or whatever and just be a good life. But your life is not your own. So, you know, we become a domesticated herd and then everything is fine. But you have to think that through and look back at the lessons of history and understand that Lord Acton was right, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you just let us hem you in and pen you in entirely, everything will be fine. We'll be a benevolent dictator. The thought should be terrifying. It should be an odious proposition in the American mind. So Reagan said, if we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except to sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea and all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government, have we lost that capacity entirely? Or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. These were days when we still had an attachment to these concepts. What do we mean by the American Revolution? This was a question John Adams asked and answered in his letter to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818. The American Revolution, he wrote, was not a common event. Its effects and consequences have already been awful over a great part of the globe. And when and where are they to cease? But what do we mean by the American Revolution? He posited. Do we mean the American War? The Revolution, he answers, the Revolution was effected before the war commenced. The Revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. A change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. While the king and all in authority under him were believed to govern in justice and mercy according to the laws and constitution derived to them from the God of nature and transmitted to them by their ancestors, the colonists thought themselves bound to pray for the king and queen and all the royal family and all in authority under them as ministers ordained of God for their good. But when they saw those powers renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and all 13 states' congresses, etc. The same introspection ought to be occurring in America today. I can't fathom it, how we made a break, a departure, and whatever you believe of that, however far down that rabbit hole you want to go, you know, we have a Declaration of Independence, ratified July 2nd, officially recognized July 4th, 1776. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, and it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. But he cautions, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, and to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, what? It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government, and to provide new guards for their future security. And, you know, we are at a point now where, as Bertrand Russell pointed out in The Impact of Science on Society, a rebellion would require a portion of the standing military force. in America, because how can you stand against, how can you stand in opposition to the beast that goes around the world conquering and to conquer? The proxy of the Anglo-American establishment, the military proxy, the Black Guard. I was looking at a piece, 2014, I think it was, Jeremy Scahill and Glenn Greenwald writing about how special operations, I think JSOC in particular, has already been relying increasingly on artificial intelligence, you know, for the dirty wars in particular. And that reminded me of the RAND Corporation monograph that I've mentioned in the past, Allocation of Forces, Fires, and Effects Using Genetic Algorithms. And from the abstract, you know, RAND Corporation monograph 2008, this model is unique in its incorporation of many higher level intelligence products, including intelligence about Red's location, activity, intent, military capability, intelligence capability, and adaptability, into the planning algorithm. The integration of these products allows the model to produce sophisticated look-ahead representations of enemy forces that are superior to the static representations typically used in planning sessions. And whenever I have mentioned this monograph in particular and this concept, genetic algorithms, and the RAND Corporation's writing about genetic algorithms, usually it's in relation to some not ideologue, but some influential voice that may arise. You look at the diagram, for example, the four quadrants of dot clusters, and you know, if someone is influential, effective in getting their message out, and can actually draw interest and get people together. I mean, I've talked about this for, I think, 10 years. Then, you know, that person is a threat to these sorts of operations and therefore must be neutralized. It's just a math problem. So these are the kinds of things that are peripheral concerns to the concepts of things like democratic socialism. An idea emerged and popularized, you know, emerged from and popularized by the Fabian Society, particularly, and I would say predominantly. As we look back over the course of history, over the last 250 or so years, what has been happening? Again, speaking of balkanization, Alfred Mackinder's geographic pivot of history, and you know, the projection of power, and who's who in the zoo, and where, you know, people talk about certain groups, but where do these forces come from? America being elevated to a certain status by certain folks, Russia, China, India. You know, and I think of the global trends reports by the National Intelligence Council. How do they know? How can they tell the future? Maybe because they're writing it, shaping it. Where did British Israel and Saudi Arabia come from? Where did all of these ideas come from? What was the, I don't know, what was the essence of what Anthony Sutton wrote about? You could boil down all of his works into a sentence or two or a paragraph. What would that be? anyway, it seems important to sort of have some kind of a concept of what has been happening, to really sort of understand how we respond to these things. And who knows, maybe that's just, you know, maybe that's more than most people, I would say. You know, it's possible to argue that it's a matter of Christian liberty whether or not you should be thinking about those things, fine, or doing anything about it, or even talking about it. You have certain communities in this society that don't really seem to concern themselves with these things. So, you know, it's for each of us to consider on his own. But to me, it seems important at least to be aware of these things, because those communities that aren't concerned were at least initially concerned, which led them to their Luddite status. We'll be right back.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in her time.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast, this Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Some food for thought as we close, and some evidence of, a conspiracy, because that's just two or more people planning in secret to do something probably not very redeeming. From Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, a note on communism, he mentions Philip Drew Administrator by Colonel Edward Mandel House, who was not a colonel, a generational old school bad guy is what I would call him. Interesting, the Wikipedia entry for him mentions, see also Federal Reserve, but there's no information about him. That's ironic, I think. Anyway, this novel, Ralph Epperson writes, written in 1912 by President Woodrow Wilson's closest advisor. Wasn't it Wilson who said he is my other self, or was that FDR? Anyway, is about how it is possible to give an advanced country like the United States, quote, socialism as dreamt of by Karl Marx. The author wished for the Russian Revolution, still 5 years away. And speaking of the Fabian Society, again, a British socialist organization whose purpose is to advance the principles of democratic socialism. From Chapter 18, Nonviolent Organizations, of Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. The philosophy of the society was simply written in 1887, and each member is obliged to support it. It reads, the Fabian Society therefore aims at the reorganization of society by the emancipation of land and industrial capital. Emancipation, isn't that a clever word? Not theft, emancipation of land and industrial capital from individual and class ownership. Well, then, to whence? The society accordingly works for the extinction of private property and land. That doesn't sound good. The Fabian Society acknowledges the principal tenet of Marxism, the abolition of private property. In this case, the right to own land. They then align themselves with the nonviolent arm of the Marxist conspiracy by accepting the nonviolent road of patient gradualism to total government. The entire strategy of was detailed by H.G. Wells, the noted science fiction writer, also a member of the Fabian Society, who wrote, it would be left chiefly to the little group of English people who founded Fabian socialism to supply a third system of ideas to the amplifying conception of socialism, to convert revolutionary socialism to administrative socialism. Oh, Philip Drew Administrator. Socialism will cease to be an open revolution and will become a plot. And so, to those who think that you can safely hug your kidnapper without consequence, without adverse consequence, to them I would say, you can't negotiate with a terrorist. I hope it was informative, as always it truly is. An honor and pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.